Perk Vav Mishnah, Rabbi Meir Meir. Kol Isek B'Torah L'Shma, Zoichel L'Dvarim Harbe. As we mentioned yesterday, so this parak all talks about the milas of the Torah Kedosha, and this is what I mentioned yesterday. And to appreciate something, we have to know the worth of it. So a person, for example, does anyone like cars here? Oh, do you like cars? Okay, so let's say Mordechai.
I used to be more of a car guy.
Right. Okay, so this is a good example. Mordechai, are you into cars? Not really. Okay, so if I say the word, I'll let you drive a Ferrari. So if you just, if your knowledge of...
I mean, I would drive the Ferrari. I would like that.
You probably wouldn't fit in there because you're too tall. Like,
yeah. I probably won't. I'll just sit there and just...
Right, but let's say if I told you want to, you know, I'll let you drive a Ferrari. So there are three responses that a person can have. One person can be like, "What's a Ferrari?" The other person, because they don't know what a Ferrari is. The other person will be like, "Let's try this one, Mordechai. You know what a McLaren is?"
Of course,
I do.
Of course, I know that is McLaren. Yeah.
Yeah. What's McLaren? What poem did he write? What poem did he write?
I don't know that. I just know the car brands.
Okay, fine. I guess you know a little bit. So this won't be a good example between you two, but I'll just give the example for, let's say, regular, you know, just in theory. If a person doesn't know what a Ferrari is, you know, and I'll be like, okay. And then the second option is a person who knows what a Ferrari is. He knows it's a really fast and expensive and cool car that, you know, rich people have. And that generates excitement. Then there's a third class of the person who, like, knows cars. And he knows, like, what kind of a suspension it has, what kind of engine it has, how many horsepower, all the details. So the level of excitement over the third guy to be able to drive the Ferrari or to go to the car show and see the Ferrari up close and personal, or to go to any, like, a classic car show is also a good example. The more you know about it, the more excited you'll be about it. Now, I grew up, my father, he should live and be well, so he was very into cars when he grew up. And he can, like, see a car, and he'll tell you, like, okay, what the year is. Anyone have a father like this? All right, my father's a little older than you, so it might be a generational thing. But he'll be able to say, okay, that's 57 Chevy, that's a 62 Plymouth, and then he can tell you the engine size and this and that, like, because that was, like, an interest. And then, like, if we go to a car show, so his excitement over seeing these cars would be like way more than me. I had appreciation for cars and the like, but like my excitement is not the same as his because he understands, he knows more and he understands more about what it means to have a car in such good condition from that year. How many of those cars were made? There are only like 10 of these Ferraris made in the whole entire world. Yada, yada, yada. So the Nimshal Havdil is with the Torah. So we don't know what the Torah is. So then, like, if we say Torah, you're getting the Torah. Okay, so big deal. You know what the Torah is, and you know a little bit about the Torah. So it's like, okay, it generates a little of the excitement. I understand it's a guidebook for life, and it's amazing wisdom and teaching, and it's the basis of our religion. And that's like, that's great. But if we understand if we really understood the value of Torah and what Torah is and how it's our life source, and what it does to us and what it does to the world and how we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then like our excitement leading up to Kabbalah Sotar would be in a totally, totally different playing field. You know, just like if your team, whatever your team is, like, you know, if you're like who's in the Super Bowl this year? The 49ers, and you're a 49ers fan, they finally make it to the Super Bowl. So like your excitement leading up to that game is like just like, you know, if you're really into sports. So the same is with Torah. And if we would have that knowledge and we have that understanding, so then our excitement would be very, very great coming up to leading up to Maimon Har Sinai, which is happening, you know, this week, Bezrat Hashem. So that is the Nimshal. Sorry for the background noise. If you can hear that. So that's like this parak is here to like get us a little excited about the Torah, about the upcoming holiday of Shavuos. And hold on. I'm wearing shorts, don't be shocked. I had to like warn you that I'm wearing shorts, you know, as opposed to not wearing any clothes. It happened. Probably the most awkward shear in the history of humankind. A rabbi is like has like a suit and tie on, and he gets up, he's just wearing his underwear or something. That'd be terrible. That'd be terrible. So that's what this parak is here to do, is to get us excited about the Torah and to teach us more about the milos of Torah and what it does for us in order of leading into Shavuos, and that will hopefully naturally get us a little more excited. So Rav Meir Omer, Kol Osek B'Torah L'Shma Zorcha L'Dvarim Harbe. Whoever is Osek in Torah L'Shma, and also to inspire us to be Osek in Torah L'Shma, because we get a lot of things out of it. V'lo Od, as Shekolam Kula Kedai Hulo. Not only does he get a lot of things, but also the whole entire world was worthwhile that it was created for his sake, for because he's being Osek in Torah. So we're going to stop here, and then we're going to break these down a little bit. I just wanted to go into what is Torah Lishma, because we've heard this idea a lot, I'm sure, over the past year, or just in general, Torah Lishma. So what does Lishma mean? Anyone know? Anyone ever hear of Torah Lishma, or doing something Lishma?
Like for its own sake.
Yeah, what does that mean?
You're just doing it for your own. You're not like doing it for like a test. You're doing it because you want to, rather than because you have to.
Okay.
All right, I think it's a more internal motivation. Okay. All right. So there's the external, which is like, I don't know, getting a reward for it or doing well on something, and then there's the internal, which is like you do it because it's you have a drive inside of you to do it.
What happens if you don't have a drive? Can you learn Torah Lishma?
Yeah. Okay, so my definition doesn't quite fit.
So we'll see. There's I brought down a. We're going to quote a bunch of different. I think your definition is correct, but the problem is when you run out of that motivation. So then it's like, all right, bye, it's over. So let's just go into a little bit of what Lishma different, and you'll see there's like different like opinions of what Lishma means. Some are even opposite of one another, which makes it even more or less exciting. So the Shla HaKadosh says that Lishma means for its own sake, Torah Lishma, for its own sake of learning it, not for, I don't have any altruistic motives or anything, it's just for the sake of learning Torah. Hashem gave us this book called the Torah, and for its own sake, I'm going to learn it. And he says that we study it in order to practice it, in order to, and this ties into Pirkei Avos, we study in order to be able to practice the laws of the Torah and the mitzvos, in order that we work on our midos, and then that will lead to a knowledge of Hashem's Torah. So it's like this progression of studying it for its own sake, to practice the laws, and by practicing the mitzvos and fulfilling the words of the Torah, so that will have an impact, it should have an impact on the way we act and the way we behave, right? And in doing that, so that will lead to a greater knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah. The Rambam, he says that he basically says, in one place he says that Torah, Lishma means to lead one in order to practice the Torah and to do the mitzvos and to that a person should be imbued with the Torah and to act. So he says that study should lead to practice. And the Rambam in another place says that you're learning for the sake of Hashem, just for the sake of Hashem. I don't think those two contradict each other, but because if you're doing the Torah in order to be able to be mekayim the mitzvos, so then, like, you know, hopefully those go hand in hand. You're doing it for the sake of Hashem, not because, like, it's a nice intellectual, you know, just like Buddhism is out there and other thoughts and stuff. So I connect to Judaism, so it's very nice. So we don't prescribe that in our religion. And in fact, we say a non-Jew cannot learn Torah, he's not allowed to learn Torah, and that it's like you have to buy into the whole picture, not just like the thought of the Jewish thought and Jewish mindfulness and Jewish meditation and Jewish this and Jewish that. It doesn't work like that. You have to buy in. And that's, I remember when I was in college, so that was like a big hack of like, I never took any of those Jewish studies classes. I only took one Jewish studies class for a requirement, and that was Italian Jewish history. That was the most Jewish studies, but none of the, like, you know, like, there is a guy who's planning to become a priest. His name was Eric. What's his last name? I don't remember. His name was Eric. He was a little bit gothic, but he was planning to become a priest. He always wore a trench coat and was black. He's a very sweet person, but he was like holding Gemara and like Torah and everything. And it's like, I remember like they were discussing, like, how can they be in these classes? How can these professors teach it? Some of the professors were like, were actually like somewhat from modern Orthodox. So a goy is not allowed to. So we don't say that you can just learn Torah, that it's like a, you know, it's a thought system. I like the idea of working on midos. I'm very connected to having proper speech. So I want to learn the laws of Lashon Hara. So we say, okay, so learn the laws of sensitive speech. Don't learn the laws of Lashon Hara, because it's a package deal that we buy in. That's when we say that when if a person wants to convert, so they have to accept the entirety of the Torah and the entirety of the mitzvos. Not like, I like, you know, let me just slice off some of them that I don't like. As you're accepting the whole thing that you're going to try to commit to fulfill. The Tanya, the Alter Rebbe, says that the purpose of learning the Shema is to learn with a kavana that our neshama gets attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the way we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through our understanding of the Torah, each one according to his level. So that's what the Tanya says. It's a way, it's a direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a way that, it's the glue that will bind, you know, us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the Tanya's opinion. And that's more, if I were asking, Lishma means, like, I'd say Lishma is, like, for its sake to, you know, connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to higher purpose. So in the other opinions we saw is that, no, it's to be able to be Mekayim in the mitzvos, not necessarily to connect to Hashem, but obviously, the point of being Mekayim in the mitzvos is to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Zohar HaKadosh says, the Zohar HaKadosh says that 613 mitzvos in the Zohar are called Taryag Eaten. What's that mean in Aramaic? So it means pieces of advice. There's 613 pieces of advice on how to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the purpose of doing Torah mitzvahs is ultimately to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The purpose of doing everything in the world is to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even through the mundane actions, as we mentioned in the past, if I'm a baker, if I'm a musician, so yes, I'm doing this job to have a parnasa, but I'm also doing this in order to do chesed for the recipients. And if we do that, so then we're infusing that, you know, that mundane activity and making it into a spiritual thing, ultimately trying to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what we have to do in our life, is to stop and connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout the day and throughout our activities. And in the generation we live in, so it's very, very difficult to do that, because we're constantly pulled in a million different directions due to technology and due to technology. I mean, it's not always technology that does it, but technology has a lot of negative impacts on the way we think, and it makes us anxious, and it makes us on edge, and it makes us distracted. Like, there's no such thing as multitasking anymore. Everyone's always like, multitasking is not something that you can do. Everyone is multitasking, because no one's attention is always focused. It's continual partial focus, as a lot of the psychologists say today. And this is the plague that's affecting, you know, our generation, as maybe you are familiar with, or you're maybe not even be familiar with, because you never experienced anything other than how you are in life now. But if you're ever zocha to put away your phone for like a day or something, or for a few hours even, it doesn't have to be a whole day, let alone a whole day. Put away your phone for a few hours and just be in what you're doing. So it's like you cannot compare the fulfillment that you'll have, and the excitement there, and the enjoyment that you'll have, and the meaning that you'll have. I just had this today. I built one of my kids a bed today, and I left my phone. My phone was almost dead, and I put it inside to have tchiyas mesim and to charge. And I just forgot about it. And I was like, momish for like 2 hours straight. I was just like focused, and like I realized, like, I didn't like think about my phone. Then I'm like, oh, I should check if I have a message. I'm like, wait, what do I have to check a message for? Who cares? Like, I can wait. I was just like, wow, that was really enjoyable. That was really enjoyable. Just being like totally focused in on one thing. I was just like, what's that even happens to me? And I try to be cognizant of, you know, of technology and try to set, you know, certain gidarim and borders with it so I can like live a life as a person as opposed to a robot. But even me, like in what I do, I get sucked up into it. And so it's hard to learn Torah Lishma if you're learning with your phone, because you're always distracted. Again, as we said, like just holding this in the, even though you don't know it's on and off, it's off, it's distracting, and it's drawing our attention away from what we're doing. Telling you, Mordechai, what's up with that guy? Love him. I think where he listens, he has bad internet connection. I think that's what it is. We'll ask when he comes back. So the idea of, again, to the Tanya is according to the level, to in order for to connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Kotzker Rebbe said Lishma means for its namesake, and what's its namesake? Of Torah. What's the namesake of Torah? So Torah comes from the root of mora, of teaching. And so the Torah for its namesake is like, again, like the Taryag Itin that the Zohar calls the 613 mitzvot, that Torah is miloshon of hora, of teaching, that the Torah should teach us how to live our life. Now, a totally different approach is that of the Nefesh Chaim, of the Ruach Chaim. Rav Chaim Mivolozhin writes that learning Torah, Lishma, means for the sake of the Torah, to just learn and know the Torah. As he says, Inyan HaLishma Ikra L'Shem Avas HaTorah L'Giv L'Amod Al Shorsha. That the purpose of learning Lishma is to come to a love of the Torah, and in order to come to an understanding of its roots and to the greatest understanding you're able to. It's not about Zveig, it's not about connecting to it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's about just connecting and knowing the Torah and that which is in it. And he says a beautiful mashal. It's like if a person gets drunk over something, so all he does is he wants more and more and more and more of the alcohol. If a person falls in love with someone, so then he wants more to be more and more with that person. He says that's how it should be with Torah, is that we want more and more and more. Welcome back to Planet Earth, Mordechai. What year did you go to now? Tell us what you saw. Hello, Mordechai.
That's what you saw.
You got us chocolate bars? Mordechai! Mordechai, thank you for bringing Simcha to my life. Mordechai, do you have good internet where you are?
I'm connecting by like Ethernet.
What does that mean? You have a good connection, as we know.
Yeah, I'm connected by this plug to the
Ethernet cable. Okay, is it a good cable? Mordechai. All right. Anyways, so and he gives another beautiful muscle elsewhere in Ruach Chaim. He says that it's like, what's pshat? We say when we it's chayim hi lamachazikim ba. Right, when I used to go to synagogue, everyone used to sing that like same old deadly tune. Like for the last hundreds of years, they've been singing the same tune. Have some excitement, you know. I love that tune. I sing it with my kids all the time. But it's the idea of like old crusty things, which like people have to like refresh, guys. Like control R now. Control R. Like reload, reload. So he says, a muzzle, let's say if someone is in the ocean and he gets thrown over his ship. So if he wants to survive, he has to like grab onto a piece of the ship that broke off, like a piece of wood. And if he holds onto that, it's machazikim, so then he's going to survive. It's going to be going, he's going to have life. And that's what it is, he says, the Torah is. If we hold onto the Torah and we grab onto the Torah and we learn Torah, so then that is our life source. And that is how we survive. So he says, the whole purpose Reb Chaim Volozhin says the whole purpose is just to connect to the Torah and to know it and to learn it and to learn it. And the more you learn it, the more you learn it again and again and again. Learning Torah is like this. Anyone looking? Learning Torah is a spiral. We go and we build them. It's not like, you know, it's steps. We get to the next step and then like that step is gone. No, we're always constantly building and building and building and building. And the greatest example is that fifth graders are learning Pirkei Avos now. And Shana Aleph guys are learning Pirkei Avos now. And the Rebbe teaching this year is learning Pirkei Avos now. And also, like, the Rebbe is giving the shir. His Rebbe is teaching about Pirkei Avos. And then his Rebbe is with that we have a textbook called Torah, which can be the godless and the just the awesomeness of Torah is that it's a book that is the same textbook used in a first grade class, fifth grade class, 10th grade class, Shana Av class, you know, professor's class, you know, seasoned Talmud Chacham, smartest guy in the world. They're all learning from the same book. There's nothing else like that in the world. And the Torah is so multi-layered, multifaceted, multicolored that's the beauty of Torah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with his infinite wisdom, put in, you know, infinity into this book, so to speak. And that's why, like, it's a never ending. And there's no, like, I learned all of Torah and that's it. Because there's always more interpretations and there's new understandings and new this and new connections, this and that. And that's like one of the, you know, how we know Torah is correct and eternal. Like, you can't have a book like that. You know, it's like the matrix of coding. It's just like, it's like an algorithm that no one can figure out. No one is able to figure out how it works. And that's because you can't, because it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, created it. As great as we are and as advanced as we are, as advanced as we'll ever get, finite things cannot reach infinity. It's just impossible. They can create a supercomputer that will count from now until the end of the world's existence, and will never get to infinity because it's always counting. It's always counting. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, and we are finite. But the Torah is, so to speak, a connection to that infinite thing, and that's why it's never, never, never ending. Never ending. The Torah was given how many thousands of years ago, and we're still coming out with new Svarim on it, you know, every single day. You know, maybe Corona now that, you know, we're not publishing Svarim every day. So that's, we have to constantly connect and go deeper and deeper and deeper. Okay, so he said, whoever's zosek in Torah, zochel the Dvarim harbe. So it's very Israel says pshat, and that is, which things are we going to be zochel to? So that's with the continuation of the mitzvah of the Mishnah, which we'll read now, and then we'll go back. That we said, many things. What's one thing? So the whole world is worthwhile being in existence because of you. Nikur Rea, right? The person who learns Torah Lishma is called a friend. He's called Ahuv, beloved. Ohev Etz HaMakom. He loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ohev Etz HaBrios. And he loves other people. Mesameach Etz HaMakom. He makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy. Mesameach Etz HaBrios. He makes humanity happy. Umalbashto anava vira, and by learning the Torah, it clothes him with humility and fear of heaven. Umichasharto liyot tzaddik, and it prepares him to become, and he's fit to become a tzaddik, a chassid, a yashar, neman. Again, not a chassid as in modern translation, but we discussed previously. A chassid, he's yashar, he's straight. He's neman, he's trustworthy, and it distances him from doing sin. And it brings him closer to do positive things, to get zchusim. And people are able to get etzas from him, to get good advice from him, and to get wisdom from him. Bino gvura, understanding and strength. Shenemar li etzah v'tushia, ani bina li gvura, as the pasuk says. You know, wisdom and giving advice is from me. I'm understanding, mine is strength. And learning Torah Lishma gives him malchus, kingship, and mamshala is like ruling over, dominion. And v'chikor din, he's able to really delve into, you know, judging something properly. Malgin lo razei Torah, and the secrets of Torah become revealed to him. V'nasa k'mayanam misgaber, becomes a fountain that gets stronger and stronger, can nourish in a posek like a river that doesn't stop flowing. And he becomes modest, patient, and he forgives people who insult him. And the Torah makes him great, exalts him over every other thing. So that's a pretty impressive list. You give me a job description that has that type of benefits to it, and that's the Torah. So according to Tzvar Yisrael, that is the Zocha, the things he Zocha the Dvarim Harbe. Those are the things. Ruchaim Volozhin says that what is it Zocha the Dvarim Harbe? Is that you get to learn the Torah and you get to fulfill the Torah. That's what you merit to have. I saw a pshat from Rav Avraham Ashur Shlita that he says, anyone there? Hello? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I just can't see you.
Okay. My internet's unstable. Beseder. So Rav Avraham Ashur says that if we think about this, just on the pshat level, Zocha L'Dvarim Harbe is you're able to do a lot of things. You're able to do a lot of things. And if you look at Gedolim, people, Mamish, learn Torah Lishma night and day. So they're able to do things which are beyond like human comprehension. For example, I'll give you a perfect example, which everyone should know of, is the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, he did things which is like not humanly, the amount he did in like a day, like would take us like a week. It doesn't make sense how he could do so much in one day. And yes, he didn't sleep a lot, that's true, but even if I didn't sleep a lot, I couldn't accomplish that in one day. And the amount he did in his lifetime, like, it would take like 50 people's lifetime in order to do that. And how could he do that? Because he learned Torah Lishma, he did a Lishma, and therefore he's Zocha L'Dvarim Harbe, he was able to do things which were like above time and space, and doesn't make sense. And also, I thought perhaps also this is pshat, and we said in a previous mission that if you're mekabel the old Torah, so ma'vir mimenu ol derech eretz, the old malchus, that if you accept the yoke of Torah on you, so then Hashem will remove the yoke of derech eretz, which we said in a different pshatim, that the yoke of having to earn a livelihood, you'll have more free time to learn Torah. Maybe that's pshat. You'll be zochah if you're doing lishma, so then you won't have any other worldly matters to take care of because they're just going to happen for you as a zchus for learning, and that will free up your time and you'll be able to accomplish a lot more. But even if you have that, like the pshat of a gadol, let's say like the Rebbe Zatzal or other gadolim bizman hazeh, or in the previous generation that they did so much, how are they able to do that? It's like above time and space. It's because of they have the koch of the Torah, and the Torah is able to raise us up above the normal time and space. Again, because we're connecting to that infinite thing called Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we're able to do that. Zocha, Rav Tversky says, and a lot of the other Hasidic Svarim say, that Zocha is Milashon Zichuch, that it purifies. Purifies us, and by learning Torah, so that's what we're zocha to, is to become more pure. What does it mean that the whole world is kedai, you know, for this guy learning Torah? So the Reb Chaim Volozhin says that if Torah would cease to be learned for a moment in this world, so the world would return to nothing, a dark hole, tohu vavohu, and that's why I mentioned an earlier share, I believe that in his yeshiva, they had a 24 mishmar of people learning every single day. That Torah should not be learned for one second anywhere in the world, because he was afraid, and he held like this. That's why he created his yeshiva, that there's always learning 24/7. The world would cease to exist. Now, that might be like, you know, what's the big deal? Obviously, people are doing that, but imagine like living like 100 years ago in Europe without communication. This, you didn't know who's learning where. There weren't yeshivas everywhere. So he always felt that he was upholding the world, and Taka, he might have been. You know, I don't know how many Jews were living in Australia then. I don't know how many Jews were living, you know. So that's what he did that. Okay. Oh, hey, that's a Mako. He loves the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So if a person dedicates himself to learning Torah, so he's naturally going to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put himself into the Torah itself. Not only that, that the Zohar and other, I think it's even Chazal, not even the Zohar, it says that Kutcha Bricha Arayta Yisrael Chadhu, that the Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael are like one. And that's why we're called the Am Segula. What's a segul
nekudot?
Yeah, nekudot. So what's a segul? So it's a Mickey Mouse. No, that's a segul. So Am Segula means we're the, you know, Mesugal, the chosen special nation, but it also means this teaching that there's Segula Miloshon Segul, this thing. There are three dots. One is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one is the Raita, one is the Torah, and one is Am Yisrael, that we're this unit that can't be broken apart. So when a person learns the Torah and he's dedicating to learning the Shema, so then he's going to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then if he has such a special connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's going to love Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to love him in turn. And also, if this person has such a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he's a godly man. And a godly man, we know that people are going to flock to godly men. And that's why you have Gedolim, who are, you know, the quintessential godly men, and people flock to the Gedolim day in and day night. They see people. We didn't go on any Gedolim tours, but unfortunately. But if you go to the house of a Gedolim, I've been to a few Gedolim's house, and there's like tons and tons of people just waiting to get in, waiting to get in to speak to the Gadol, to get advice from him, to get a bracha from him. And that is the koch of learning the Shema. Not only that, when you learn the Shema, you come so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you're able to go beyond the normal realm of the world. And I'll explain it with an example. The Gemara in Tanis tells about Choni Amagol. Does anyone know what Choni Amagol is? So there's a Gemara in Tanis. So Choni Amagol is called Choni the Magal. Magal means a circle. So what do? One time there's a drought, and everyone was praying and davening and fasting for rain, and there still was a drought. Remember back then when there was a drought, then it was like life and death. So it got so bad, finally came the Choni Amagol, and Choni came and he drew a circle with his stick in the sand, and he stood in the circle. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not leaving the circle until you make it rain. And that's how he gets his name, Magol, because he did that. And it started a little drizzle. And he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what I asked for. I asked for rain. And then it started being a downpour. And he's like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what I asked for. This type of rain is dangerous. Then he said, Ribbono Shel Olam, that's good rain, you know. And then it started raining normally in a healthy way. So Shimon ben Shetach wanted to rebuke him, who was a contemporary at the time. He's like, how can you make demands from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Who do you think you are? So you can make demands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't do that. So Shimon ben Shetach said, he's like, I want to get you in trouble. I want to give you a rebuke, but what can I do? I can't do that to you, Choni, because you're the son of the king. You're a beloved child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just like a beloved child is able to ask their father for whatever they want, so too, that's your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, you're able to make those things which are disgraceful. Like, imagine if I would say, like, Hashem, give me rain now. If you don't give me rain now, I'm not moving from this circle until you give me. I can't say that. And Shimon ben Shetach couldn't say that either. But Choni Amagol was so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah, so he was able to make those demands. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so connected to him also. And that's why he gave him those demands. Not because he used up all of his tickets at the arcade. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved him so much. He's like, just like my kid, he's going to ask me for things. So I'm going to give it to him because we have that loving relationship. So that's also how the Torah, how that's a good thing, Zohar the Dvarim Harbe, is having that connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and being able to get amazing things out of it. And the most amazing thing out of it is being connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Not that I learned the Torah to be connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to make the man say Kadosh Baruch Hu, because Kadosh Baruch Hu loves me, he's going to give it to me. No, that's not it. But it's the ultimate source is to get learn the Torah to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu in the highest way. Okay, Yashir Koyach. Have a good day. We'll pick up with Mishnah Bet tomorrow. B'siyach D'shmaya. Zay gesund.
Thank you, Rav.